To you from all from Central Illinois, they all say hi, and it's good to be here. It's been a while since I've been here. Have you ever heard someone say that the God of the Old Testament was a vengeful, cruel God? You know, they say that God the Father had it in for man, that He was an unforgiving God. And that's why Jesus Christ had to come to the earth to smooth over things for us so that God wouldn't wipe us out. You know, could you show someone in your Bible who really is the God of the Old Testament? Most people would be surprised to know who really was dealing with man in the Old Testament. Who was it that created the heavens and the earth? Who was it that created man? Who was it that flooded the earth and caused it, you know, because it grieved him so that the way man turned out? Who was it that wrote in stone with his own finger? Well, how would you go about proving who is the God of the Old Testament? Well, let's turn to John 1, verse 1. Let's start at the very beginning of God's recorded word. And we know that this is the very beginning of His word. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. The Word was God. So let's see, who is the Word? Let's drop down to verse 3. It says, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made. In Him was life, and the life was in the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We see all things were made by Him. They were made through Him. That means all the heavens, the stars, the moon, the angelic world, even the physical world that we live in, the air we breathe. In verse 10 it says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. And the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. He came to His own, but they rejected Him, didn't they? It's starting to sound familiar who this God being is. In verse 14 it says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Even for the simplest of mind, it should be obvious that the only God being who was made flesh was Jesus Christ. What other names and what other titles is Jesus known by? Well, if we turn to Luke 2 and verse 11, we know that it says that He was called a Savior. Luke 2, verse 11. It says, For there is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In my commentary, you know, it says Savior, Christ, Lord, and it breaks up these three titles together, and it says it summarizes his sovereign position, you know, which is true. He is called a Savior. The word Christ means the Anointed One, referring to Jesus, His royal position. The word Lord was a title as a ruler. You know, the meaning of the word is defined by Peter in Acts 2. Jesus is destined to sit and rule from God's side, ruling with the Father. You know, if you look at the Greek word in Strong's, it's 4990, along with just the obvious meaning, you know, of what a Savior is, the word often includes the meaning of deliverer, protector, or preserver. And we know that King David often prayed in the Psalms that God was his protector, his deliverer, his preserver. In Luke 2, if we drop, well, I guess in 11, you know, that says here that the angel announced to the shepherds the birth of a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, one who would offer himself as a sacrifice to provide redemption, to redeem us all. You know, Luke's summary in 19:10, it says that he came to seek and save that which was lost. That was his mission. He is also known as the Son of God. In Luke 1:34, if we just turn back a chapter, in Luke 34, we can see that the angel was telling Mary what was going to take place and who he was going to be. Breaking into the verse there, it says, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel said, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the one who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" So he has many titles and many names. He was the one, the Word, who became human and was known as Jesus Christ. Another title he's known by is the Son of Man. You know, if we go to Matthew 16 in verse 27, I know this is all review, but it's good to go over a lot of scriptures that point to Jesus Christ. Matthew 16, verse 27, it says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each one according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." And we know that that's the time that Christ let them see Him in His glory in a vision with Moses and Elijah. And we can read about that in chapter 17, verse 1. It talks about, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and He led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Him." Now, also in Luke 24, verse 7, it says that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day that He would rise again. So we can see clearly that the Son of Man was another title for Christ. He was the only one who was crucified and resurrected and was brought back to His heavenly state with His godly former being, with His God the Father. He is also known as the first and the last, isn't He? In Revelation 1, verse 9, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read it. It says, "I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, the voice of a trumpet, saying, 'I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see,' he said, 'write in a book and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Samaria, Pergamos, and to Thyatira, Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea.'" You know, Christ is the beginning and the end, isn't He? He started the creation, He made it, and He's going to end all things and turn them over to His Father, God the Father. He is also known as the King of Kings in Revelation 19. If you started in verse 11, it says, "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and He who sat on him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness He judges and makes war." So we see Jesus Christ has the authority and the power that He can judge, and He makes war. "His eyes were like flame of fire, and His head were many crowns. He had a name that was written and no one knew except Himself. He was clothed in white with a robe dipped in blood, and His name was called the Word of God." So right there it verifies that Jesus Christ, that's who it is, the Word of God. "And the armies in heaven, clothed with fine linen and white and clean, follow Him on horses. And out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should strike the nations. And He Himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. He has on His robe and His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords," another title. So without a doubt, that's Jesus Christ that is talking about. John tells us the Word of God was with God, and He was God. He wasn't created at birth. You know, when Jesus Christ was born, He wasn't created then. He was already in existence. The key to understand the Bible is to understand that in John 1:1, if you research the Old Testament for the Word God the Father, it does not appear. There isn't there. In the Old Testament, you know, there's many clues, and as we read, it will see that Jesus is the creator of all things. In Genesis 1, we all know the story. God created the heavens and the earth. And in verse 3, it says, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And if you drop down to 27, it says, God created man. And it said, "Let us create man in our image, male and female." You know, the Old Testament is full of markers and pointers that say, if you know who's who. Excuse me, that's pretty good. You know, John recorded what Christ told the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and that the writings of Moses were talking about Him, Jesus Christ. Let's turn to John 5, verse 45. In John 5, verse 45, Christ's own word, He says, "Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust." You know, they all thought they had to do everything by the book, but from what Moses said. And He said, "If you believed Moses, you would believe Me, for he wrote about Me." He told them right then and there who He was. They didn't want to believe it. He says, if you don't believe His writings, how will you believe My words? You know, Moses wrote about Christ and the promises to the patriarchs, didn't he? In the history of the deliverance from Egypt, in the symbolic, you know, institution of the law, and the prediction of a prophet like himself that was coming. So if we turn to Luke 24... we'll see Jesus Christ appear to the apostles in Luke 24. This is 3 days right after He was crucified on the third day. Starting in verse 13, it says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, thank you, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which happened. And it, so it was, it says, as they were conversed in reason, that Jesus Himself drew near, and He went to them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they didn't know who He was." In verse 17 it says, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another, as you walk and you're sad?" Then one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said to Him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that's not heard, you know? Have you not known these things which happened here in these days?" And He said to him, "What things, you know?" So they said to Him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death, and they crucified Him. But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonish us. When they did not find His body, they came saying that He also seen a vision of angels, or they had also seen a vision, who said He was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found that it was just as the women said, but they did not see Him." Of course, you know, their lack of faith and doubt, He said to them, "O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all the prophets that have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" And at the beginning, He started at the very beginning, it says, "At Moses and all the prophets, He expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things that concerned Himself." He told them about Himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and He indicated that He would have gone further, but they restrained Him and saying, "Abide with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is far spent. So he said he went and stayed with them. And now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread. He blessed it and broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Well, wouldn't that have been something to have been there to see that? To think you were talking to the very Creator? You know, if the people had only believed Moses, they would have received Jesus gladly. If we go through the Old Testament, there's over 300 prophecies that were specifically fulfilled in the first coming of Christ. You know, he said there in John in verse 47 that you do not believe his writings, talking about Moses. And that's the ultimate problem, you know, was that people didn't believe the word that God had written through Moses. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses was the God I Am. The God of the Old Testament's name was I Am That I Am. Christ called himself I Am in John 8. Let's turn to John 8, verse 53, when he was talking to the Pharisees. In John 8, starting in verse 52, and the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, 'If anyone keep my word, he shall never taste death.'" He says, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" You know, they're asking him. And Jesus said, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, and of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar just like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." In verse 57, they ridiculed him and said, "You're not yet 50 years old. How can you have seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So right there we know he's proclaiming who he is. We see the reaction of his own. You know, they wanted to kill him. They rejected him because of the hardness of their heart. Remember back John 1 verse 10, what it said? That he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. And he came to his own, but they did not receive him. Here in verse 59, if you drop down, it says they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them. So he passed by. You know, Christ said right there who he was. He was the one that dealt with Abraham directly. He talked to Moses, and they hated him for saying what he said, because they understood what he was saying, that he was God. Today, most people wouldn't know who the I Am is if you were talking about that. They might claim to know the Lord, Jesus Christ, but they don't know that he was the God of the Old Testament. Let's turn back to Exodus 3:13 and see some of the Old Testament scriptures that proves I Am. Exodus 3:13. Thanks for the fan, Tim. That feels great. There you are. And starting verse 13, it says, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your father has sent you, they'll say to me, what is his name? And what should I say to them?'" Verse 14, "And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you, or sent me to you.' Moreover, God said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations.'" You know, if you look up in the Strong's exhaustive concordance, I Am, there are scriptures everywhere referring to that. As mentioned before, Christ is known by other names and titles. Here's a few of him in the Old Testament. Let's turn to Isaiah 49, verse 26. Isaiah 49, verse 26. Starting verse 26, it says, I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And we know that there's only one name under heaven where we can be saved, and we know that's Jesus Christ's name. You know, back in Acts 4, verse 10, it says, let it all be known to you, to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected and became the corner chief stone. Nor is there salvation by any other. There is no other Savior. There's no other name given among men by which we must be saved. He is our Redeemer and our Savior. So let's turn to 1 John 4:14 and see what it says there. Starting 14, it says, and we have clearly have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. And whoever confesses Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. You know, the New Testament makes it clear who the Savior of mankind is. But in the Old Testament, David prayed to God, his Savior. Let's turn to Hosea 13, verse 4, and see another scripture. Hosea 13 and verse 4. I like to use a lot of scripture to prove a point. You can't refute it. Hosea 13, starting in verse 4, it says, yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt. You shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. You know, in Isaiah 48, 12, it says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel. My called, I am He. I am the first. I am also the last. Sounds a lot like Scripture in Revelation 22:12, doesn't it? Where He says, behold, I am coming quickly, and with me is my reward to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You know, this is Jesus' claim that He is the beginning. He is the firstborn into God's kingdom, and He's going to be the finisher of God's plan. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 32, verse 3. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4. Deuteronomy 32, starting verse 3. It says, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, for He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are just, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteousness and upright is He. You know, Paul used the same words to identify Jesus Christ as the one leading Israel through the wilderness in the Old Testament. You know, if we turn to 1 Corinthians 10:4, which is clear the other way, we're going to zip back and forth. But in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, this will keep you awake if you can do all the scripture turning. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, starting in 1, it says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. All ate that spiritual, the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that rock, that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ, it says right there. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. And we know for over 40 years that He let them die, the ones that were 20 years and older, because they did not obey. How much plainer could it be that the rock was Christ and He was God and He is God? You know, it should be clear to us who is the God of the Old Testament. Christ claimed that no man has seen God the Father at any time or heard His voice. Only the begotten Son, which was Himself, who is in the bosom of the Father. That's what He declared. Let's turn to John 1, verse 18. No, excuse me. We can go there if we want. We'll turn there real quick. John 1, 18. Right there it says, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. So if we turn to John, just a few scriptures further, chapter 5, 37. It says, the Father Himself who sent Me has testified of Me. You've neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form. So we know Jesus Christ is not a liar. So if He says that no man has ever seen the Father, then who could it have been? Who could have been the God of the Old Testament? He's telling them that they, as mankind, have never seen nor heard. You know, in 1 John 4:12, it also says that no man has seen God at any time. And it's talking about God the Father, that no man has ever seen. You know, the Jewish religious leaders of Jesus' day taught scriptures and they diligently searched the Old Testament scriptures. But they didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. It was Christ's mission to come to earth to reveal God the Father for the first time to mankind. You know, Jesus met Abraham, and in chapters of Genesis 18 and 19, you know, He was in the form of a man. Let's turn to Genesis 18 and see when He met Abraham. Genesis 18, 1 through 5. So if it just said that no man's ever seen God the Father, it says that He met the Lord right here in Genesis 18, 1 through 5. So it can't be God the Father that he met. Verse 1 here, it says, then the Lord appeared to him by the terebinth trees of Mamre, or Mamre, I'm not sure how you pronounce that, but as He was sitting in the tent, the door, in the heat of the day, He lifted His eyes and looked. And behold, there were three men standing by Him. And when He saw them, He ran from the tent door to meet them. And He bowed Himself to the ground. He said, my Lord, if I found favor in Your sight, do not pass by on Your servant. Please, let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring you a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that you may pass by, insomuch as you've come to your servant. You know, and they said, do as you have said. You know, this is not some vision or some dream. It was in the middle of the day. It was obvious that Abraham recognized God because he said, my Lord. He had met the Lord earlier in chapter 12, verse 7, also in chapter 17. There's a record of that. And there was at least two other witnesses at this meeting who saw God and the two angels, Sarah and the young manservant. Continuing on here in chapter 18, verse 6. So Abraham hurried to his tent, and to Sarah he said, quickly, make three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a tender young calf and gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. You know, Christ was about to tell him and Sarah that they were going to have a son. And as we remember, no man has ever seen God the Father at any time, nor heard His voice or seen His shape. So it was Jesus Christ. So it was that Jesus, who came before Abraham, He called, you know, Abraham, and Abraham called Him the judge of the earth and others. Parts in the scriptures, it says that's a title that we would recognize, that it's Christ, that He is a judge and He rules. And He was about to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and see for Himself the sins of the of the people to see if it was true. So, you know, before he left, he told Abraham. He told him about his plan and what he was going to do for him and his, how he would bring an heir to him, and through him all the world would be blessed. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4. See what it says about Christ in 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4, starting in verse 1, it says, I charge you therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. You know, Paul reminds Timothy that Jesus will return in judgment, and it's Jesus Christ who will judge the nations. You know, in Revelation 19, which I'd read before, it, in verse 11 it says, he saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And him who sat on it was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. We remember who sits on a white horse, don't we? It was Jesus Christ. He was the one who judged Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's the one who destroyed it. You know, when we read about Jacob, it was Christ who wrestled with Jacob throughout the night. Let's turn back to Genesis 32. Genesis 32, starting in verse 32, excuse me. I went to the wrong spot. You know, apparently Jacob is wrestling with an unidentified man here, and he wrestled throughout the night, and it went on for some time until the breaking of the day. You know, both people were physically strong, and it seemed that they were equally matched. You know, in verse 22 it says, he rose that night, here's an account of it, and he took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford at Jabbok. He took them, and he sent them over the brook. And he sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And it says here, a man wrestled with him until the break of day. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, talking about Christ here, it says he touched the socket of Jacob's hip. And it was out of joint as he wrestled. Can you imagine that? Being in such pain and still hanging on. He said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So evidently he realized that he was wrestling with someone that wasn't a mere man, because why would you ask for a blessing from another man? And he said, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you struggled with God and with men, and you've prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you seek my name? And he blessed him there. And so Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. You know, he claimed right there he saw God face to face. It couldn't have been God the Father, because we know that it says no man has ever seen God the Father. So it had to be Jesus Christ. After having his thigh put out of place, you know, he asked for a blessing, showing again that he was no ordinary man who he was dealing with. As we read, we see that this mystery man was able to inform Jacob that he had been in strife with man and now was in confrontation with God, and he had prevailed. There is no mistake that Jacob saw God face to face, and he called the place the face of God in honor of seeing and wrestling with God. It wasn't a dream or a vision, because he was left with a physical limp. He had the rest of his life. He was handicapped. It's also recorded in the book of Hosea, in chapter 12. It's recorded that he wrestled with an angel of the Lord. The word angel of the Lord is also found in Exodus 3, verse 2. Let's turn there. Let's read what Moses saw in Exodus 3, 2, where it says the angel of the Lord. Exodus 3, verse 2. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame from fire in the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight. How come or why the bush does not burn? In verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside, he said, God called him from the midst of the burning bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place, for take your sandals off, for the place where you stand is holy, holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And God identified him as the God of your fathers, you know, the God that was worshipped by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In announcing their names, he was reassuring Moses in this covenant with his father of Israel was still in effect. The people of the Old Testament never heard or saw God the Father. Let's look at one more scripture in Exodus 24. Let's go to Exodus 24, starting in verse 9. Whenever I read this, I am amazed at what took place here. Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. They saw God. There was under his feet, as it were, paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles, of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hands. So evidently he laid hands on Moses, so that they saw God, and they ate and they drank before God. It clearly says they saw the God of Israel. And we know once again, I'll say it again, that no man has saw God the Father. So if anyone wants to say, you know, it was God the Father, we know in fact that it was Jesus Christ. And I hope this was insightful and helpful to review and to go over the scriptures. You know, so the next time we read in the Old Testament, we know exactly who was talking.